Baseball at the Barroom. On Monday nights, get ready for the Friendly Confines Extra Innings. It's 30 minutes, it's clever, it's concise, and it's all Cubs coverage. That's followed by a killer White Sox show, South Burbs Hitmen. Then on Thursday afternoon, it's Cubs and Sox opinions and analysis with Crosstown Crosstalk. Baseball at the Barroom. Join us live and or on demand.
White Sox fans to this day wanted AJ Hinch. Tony La Russa haters that would rather have a guy to fix the playoffs and World Series and season than Tony La Russa. And I have a huge problem with that. I do. Don't go preaching about, okay, he drank and this and that, and he shouldn't have done this, he shouldn't have done that. You guys wanted AJ Hinch, and you're going to talk to me about Tony La Russa.
I don't mean any disrespect. He just didn't play that well. Not for a guy of his caliber.
If they don't run the ball here, I'm going to vomit. I swear to God.
I don't really have any recollection of that at all, but I guess perhaps I blacked it all out.
You know, they won, but I'm going to be miserable all week because they stunk.
Everybody, it's Aldo Gandhi, and I just want to let you know really quickly that our swag shop is reopened. DeepDishTees.com is where you go, and that's Tees with T-E-E-S. Clever name, guys. They're the new home of our merchandise. You can get t-shirts, you can get caps, you can get coffee mugs, you can get hoodies, you can get all sorts of good stuff, and you'll help out the bar room with the purchase. So head over to DeepDishTees.com.
Hey, this is David Kaplan from the Cap J Hood Show on ESPN 1000 and NBC Sports Chicago. Now get ready to listen and watch to Bulls 101 with Chris and Lero. Take that, Sparkles.
What's up, Bulls fans? My name is Chris Amundson here with my guy, Lero Golden. We're listening to Bulls 101. Welcome to another edition and episode. Lero, did you catch the end of that Suns game?
I caught a little bit towards the end. I'm pretty sure that I'm going to go back and watch and, you know, do some things with that game later. But, you know, looking at the score, it kind of threw me off. I mean, I wasn't expecting it to be under 100 points. So, I mean, for each team score under 100 points. So it was definitely a little surprising. I did catch Ayton dominating the offensive rebounds, which kind of killed any type of comeback for the Clippers at that, you know, towards the end there. Going small kind of hurt them there. So, man, it's tough, man. Down 3-1. That's tough, man. Kawhi's going to have to come down, man. You have to come down up that that skybox up there and maybe put a knee sleeve or something on him, man, because they need him.
Kyler, he ain't walking through that door. Come on, Lara. You know, the Clippers have been in a 3-1 situation before last year, although they're on the opposite side of it. And obviously, we know what happened with the Nuggets coming back 3-1, down 3-1, and going to the Western Conference Finals. So I think, I mean, Phoenix has a great chance to go to the finals. And it's really exciting for the entire state of Arizona. I lived there for several years as I was going to school. And we have a guest tonight who's also living in Arizona. And you guys know him if you're a Bulls fan and you love the memes, you love to get the responses on all the Woj tweets and everything. You guys have probably heard of the Arturas Karnišovas fan club. Ross, welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you on today to talk some Bulls and get some hype for the off season.
And, oh yeah.
And your, do you claim the Suns as like a, you know, adopted team?
Yeah, I think so. I've lived out here for like almost 6 years at this point. So yeah, I'm down for the Suns. I appreciate you guys having me on. This is an exciting time. So I'm happy to be here.
Man, I'm happy to have you on, man. This is fun, man. I'm watching your videos and seeing you on Twitter. It's definitely been fun, you know, following you, man. So I'm, like Chris said, we're happy to have you on, dude.
I appreciate that.
I feel like every Woj tweet about something that you're always like, yeah, I mean, that's great, but they're still going to lose to the Bulls in the playoffs this year. Like, there's always some wild tweet with like supreme confidence.
The one that got me recently is the KD and Scotty, you know, going back and forth, and he put an edited version of KD in a Bulls jersey. He's like, hey, why don't you come shut him up? You know, come be his Bull and shut him up. That was hilarious.
And you know, KD's on Twitter all day. He saw that. I know he saw that. And I know for a fact.
No doubt. No doubt. No doubt.
That's hilarious. Yeah. And hey, KD, if you want, you really want to shut Scottie Pippen up, get your number, you know, put up in the rafters. I'm just saying.
Maybe he just needed to see himself in the jersey. He sees it in the jersey. He's like, all right, well, now that I've seen it, that's what I want to do.
It's also funny that there was a picture going around of KD in a Tony Kukoc uniform as well. I was like, about that last shot that Scotty decided not to go in the game for. Yeah, I mean, the man's trying to sell some bourbon, I'll tell you that. And I'm not sure if his comments are the after effects of that bourbon or if he's just trying to generate some hype. But either way, it's working, I'll tell
you that.
I know he's trying to sell that book too. But honestly, I don't know if I'm going to buy it. I don't think there's anything I want to read about it, man, honestly. I mean, so that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I mean, I saw some tweets that were like, was MJ wrong in The Last Dance? I mean, he never told a lie, you know? It's like, what do I need to hear from Scotty's point of view? I think MJ kind of said it all.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, I'm sure there's sure to be something, but I think even if you don't buy it, someone will read it, someone will tweet about it, and the saga will continue. But what an amazing run for the Bulls. You know, in the 90s, our current Bulls, however, have had a little bit of bad luck this week. As I'm sure you know, Ross, you've had a couple of different videos on this, but we were really hoping and praying to do in the prayer circle for the chance to move up to the top four in the draft. We almost got bamboozled by the way that they held up the sign.
That's a lot about that.
I know, man.
But it said in the fine print at the bottom there is conveyed by the Chicago Bulls. So we did lose out on the pick, which means we do get to keep our 2022 first round pick. If the one had not conveyed this year, those protections would have gone 1 through 3 on the pick next year and then on down. So we still owe the 2023 pick, but the same kind of thing happens for that one. If it moves up in the top four, it moves to the next draft over. So, you know, it's a tough draft to lose out on the top four for sure. I mean, there's some great prospects, Cade Cunningham, Mobley, Suggs, Jalen Green. There's a lot of good guys there. We saw the Toronto Raptors move up in the top four. They were just a couple games worse than us. I think we could have been in that spot. Alero, is that hurting your heart here? Am I just punching the dagger in?
Man, it's like you just – oh, God, man. Just
– we beat them, too.
Kamehameha wave just hits me right in my chest, man. It's just – I don't know, man. That sucked, man, seeing them hop. And then – with all these Sea Red Fred prophecies, seventh pick, seventh this, seventh that, and the seventh.
Oh, moved up to top four, huh?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think a lot of fans are down on it. Obviously, it sucks to, you know, to not move into the top four with.
Yeah.
And especially to see the Cavs, who've been there freaking every year, move in the top three. You're like, really?
Yeah.
Really, basketball gods? Like, the Cavs? Come on. But – you know, a lot of people have found themselves kind of revisiting the Nikola Vucevic trade and whether it was the right thing. And I know Fred was on Twitter saying, hey, now that we know it's the eighth pick that went to the Magic, would you still do that trade today? And you know, I wanted to get your thoughts. I know you had a video on this, but I wanted to get your thoughts, Ross, about what you thought of the trade at the time and whether these results have changed your opinion or have swayed it since then.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the time, I was super hyped. You guys saw it. I think we were all hyped getting another all-star. We're all in on Zach LaVine. We're trying to make the playoffs. We're not developing talent. We're trying to win now. So the results of the season, and we could we could diagnose all the reasons that the season went wrong. Zach going out with COVID, Troy Brown Jr. getting hurt, all that stuff. I would still do the trade today. Knowing it's the eighth overall pick, I would still do the trade. I know this draft is super deep, but when you have the chance to get an all-star in his prime, coming off his best season as a pro so far, I'm all for it. And I think that we're tired of, like Fred says, the seven pick every year. We're tired of developing the talent year after year after. Like, how good will this guy be in 2-3 years? Vucevic is in his prime. We know how good he is. We know how good Zach LaVine is. So I'm still holding out faith that this is the core for a playoff run. So I'd still do the trade. Long story short, I'd do the trade.
Yeah, no, I am in total agreement with you. And I chose to wear this shirt today. Shout out All Around Design. You know what I mean? I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling good about Vooch, man. Yes, it does suck that we didn't get in the top four. No doubt about that. But we still have a second all-star. I mean, one of the biggest things coming into the season was trying to make Zach happy and show him that we are trying to build towards a winning team and playoff contending. And that was a move I felt at the moment was the right thing. And still to this day, I still think it's the right move. And, you know, you could look at the lottery and it could still sting, but like Tommy Waddle always says, is like, you know, you got to walk and chew gum at the same time. So yeah, you could say it sucks to be not be in the top four, but also acknowledge that we have a second all-star, that all we need is a third guy and some, you know, moves around the margins. Maybe, who knows, maybe AK surprises us and does some things that, you know, will sweep us off our feet. You never know, man, you know? So, but I'm in a good situation in terms of like how I feel about them going forward, in terms of having two all-stars, two guys that I really think will fit well together. You can do plenty, you know, different things with those two guys. And you know, obviously the growth of Pat is so huge. If Pat can come back and be the guy that AK thinks he can be, and that will be very huge for this team organization going forward. And it may make us forget about that top four pick. So who knows, man?
Yeah. So, Larry, I think you bring up a good point here, which is, I mean, I agree with you guys that in a vacuum, if you look at the assets we traded for Vooch, as Ross, you said, it's an all-star in his prime. I mean, is he a top five type all-star? No, but like he worked really, really well with Zach LaVine. We saw that pick and pop game, the high-low action that they've been running in the few games that they had together. I think there's a high ceiling for them offensively. And if they can put the right pieces around him, I think it can be a successful playoff team. And, you know, who knows how deep they can go. I think the real issue with the trade is not the trade itself, but the fact that we've been in the lottery for 4 years straight, and we have really, really not a lot to show for it. I mean, I'm high on Pat. I think he can be a great two-way player in the league, and I think he might have star potential. But right now, I mean, he's 19 years old. He's the second youngest rookie in the draft this last year. So it's a lot to put on his shoulders to say, hey, go out and produce next year. I think we all expect a big jump from him, and I know he does, but it's a lot to put on him when you got, you know, Wendell Carter, who went out in the trade, and Lauri Markkanen and Kobe White, who we really haven't seen a whole lot of growth. A lot of them have been very stagnant since their rookie seasons. Kobe's younger, but now he's got that shoulder injury, and he's going to spend the whole offseason rehabbing instead of working on his game, which is unfortunate. Obviously, we wish him the best, but I think the difference between a team like us and like the Suns, for example, the Suns, who went out and got that second all-star in Chris Paul, is they got Mikal Bridges, they got DeAndre Ayton, they picked up Cameron Payne off the scrap heap and turned him into a productive player. Their player development has been so positive. And I know this year we've brought in a coach that hopefully can develop the players. Everyone seems to like the players. We saw Thad used in a much better way this year. We saw Zach and Kobe put in position to succeed. So I like what he's doing, and we got the new development staff, but we haven't really seen the results produce yet. And the problem, the only worry I have about this trade is the fact that we're trading these draft assets gives us less opportunities to bring in younger talent that we can have on the cheap for, you know, 4 to 7 years under contract. So that's where I'm looking to see what AK is going to do this summer. He's going to have to be creative, because we've got a lot of dudes on the roster that are veterans, and we've got very, very little young talent other than Kobe and Pat because we shipped out Daniel Gafford, shipped out Wendell Carter, Chandler Hutchison, you know, and it just haven't had a lot to show for it so far. So I don't know what you guys think about that, but that's my only concern with the trade. It wasn't about the assets we shipped out necessarily as much as what was left over is difficult to build on. So I'm interested to see what he does, especially with that like Aminu contract, see what he can flip Sato for, if they can get a point guard in. That's going to be key this offseason, I think.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, I get what you're saying 100%. I get it, the timeline and development, everything that you just said. I just kind of feel AK in a way where it's like, you know, Bulls fans, like, yeah, we got Powell, Boozer, but like, it's you can't pass up the chance to go get Vooch. I mean, like,
yeah.
That dude is he's just so fun to watch. Offensively, he's so skilled and adds so much to your team on the offensive end. I understand why he said, you know what, we got to take this chance, because I mean, obviously he had conversations with them before even the trade deadline. He said, you know, and so he's had an idea about it. So I'm going to take that leap of faith with him because I'm not one of those guys that thinks this trade is a failure just because we didn't make the playoffs last year. I mean, there were so many, you know, things that happened that kind of affected those odds. So I agree with you, but at the same time, I can get why he did it, you know, so.
Yeah. I got into it with Magic fans. Magic fans came at me because I was saying,
I saw that.
Yeah, I was saying, like, all right, you know, we traded these picks. They got, what was it, the eighth and the – I forget what the other pick they ended up with. But
I think it was
– fifth? Was it five. Fifth and eighth?
I think it was five, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, are the Magic going to do something special with these picks? I don't know. I've never seen the Magic do something super special with those picks. But anyway, I would make the trade today. I like Vucevic. AK's been scouting the guy since, like, high school or something, he said. AK's been in love with this dude for a long time. You know, like you said, Lara, like missing the playoffs, it hurts. Not getting the pick back, it hurts. But there's a bigger vision going on here. There's more at play than just, you know, like I go back to Zach LaVine, you know, being out with COVID. Like if Zach LaVine hadn't gotten COVID, we were in the play-in tournament, possibly just in the playoffs without the play-in tournament, you know, that pick wouldn't have even been a possibility. There would have been no chance.
Yeah.
So it's things like that are kind of out of our control. You know, control the controllables, that kind of stuff. So like this offseason, there's a lot of avenues to improve. So I'm still holding out faith. Like I said, the core guys that are there, I really like what we have, and there's stuff there to build off.
So that faith is something that you've built an entire brand on, right? This is odd because I think most people think of basketball team executives as not really their friends or people you root for. They're more like people that are in your way, that aren't doing the things you want, right? There's always something to nitpick. But you've gone the complete opposite way, and you've decided, you know what? I'm going full tilt. Arturis Retrust is the name of your like brand. So did this start as a meme, or like what was your motivation to start this, and why did why do you trust in AK?
So, I mean, going back to the beginning of it, man, it was all Garpax and the stink of that, of like, holy shit, Reinsdorf is actually letting us do a thing. Like we're able to do something different than what we've been doing the last two decades. Like that was the whole vibe of it at the beginning, was like, wow, this is new. You know, I love this team, but it's been hard to root for them lately. And we're finally doing something that I feel like I can get behind and I can root for. And it kind of like it started as a joke, and then it kind of felt more serious as like, okay, we're firing Boylan, we're hiring Donovan, we're drafting Patrick. Like it started to be like, okay, like this actually feels real. You know, it's not just a joke. Like we're making actual improvements for the squad. And at this point, you know, it's taken on a life of its own. It's hard to describe. But I'm a big fan of the guy because I trust his vision. Obviously what he did with the Nuggets speaks for itself, and having a proven basketball executive in Chicago, it's a total different change of pace. Of like you were saying with Boozer and Pau Gasol, it's like, this is not your parents' Garpax team. This is a new generation in Chicago. There is a new vibe, a new energy around this team. And I think a part of that you know, has been shown on social media. People are excited for the team again. People are hyped. People want to see this team be in the playoffs again. And I'm not going to take credit for it, but I've definitely been a part of it. And I'm very blessed that we have such a strong community on social media. Bulls fans are awesome. They are crazy and they are awesome. And I love them. And I will spend every day hanging out with them as I can for the rest of my life, because we are having so much fun lately. Hopefully the fun continues.
Yeah. I kind of wanted to go back to the roots a little bit. Like, what was it that made you a Bulls fan? Like, what sticks out to you when you go back in your memory? Like, that's when I knew that this was the team I wanted to root for.
Yeah. So, I mean, I live in Arizona. I'm originally from the burbs. I'm from Vernon Hills. Okay. I lived in the city for a little bit. I've been a Chicago sports fan ever since I was born. That's just, you know, I grew up a Bulls fan. I grew up a Bears fan. I know Sox over there. I'm a Cubs fan, but, you know, Hawks, everything. So I know. But I was raised by Northsiders. Not much I can do about it. But yeah, growing up, just watching Ben Gordon and Kirk Heinrich, I think that was when I started to really like basketball. And then watching Derrick Rose is when I became in love with basketball. You know, like I watched the Ben Gordon, Kirk Heinrich years, and that was exciting. And then Derrick Rose, just like I fell in love. It felt like it was our team, our city, you know, our guy. Yeah. And ever since then, man, it's been a roller coaster, as you guys know. But this is our team, and we'll fight to the end with them.
That's so true. That's so true. Like, it's funny. Like, for me, it's so funny. The dude that made me a Bulls fan is Eddie Robinson. And I think back and I'm like, why? Like, why? And I think it was more so like, I don't know. It was the swag on the court. And then
swagger.
And once we got, you know, Captain Kirk bought in, that was my guy at Kansas. And then obviously with D-Rose, because I followed D-Rose when he was in high school too. So,
yeah,
you know, getting him was just like, it accelerated like everything about me in terms of becoming a Bulls fan. So I feel you 100%, man. 100%.
Yeah. You guys, I know I've said this on the show before, but the person that made me a Bulls fan is Jimmer Fredette. So I got nothing on you guys.
Are you joking? Is that serious? Jimmer?
So I was a big Jimmer fan because I went to school the same time as he was blowing it up. And then he got drafted by the Kings, obviously, which is where players go to die. And so he ended up getting traded midseason to the Bulls. This was after Derek Rose went down, after Lil Dang got traded.
Yeah.
And I watched that team hoping to see some Jimmer minutes. Did not see a lot of Jimmer minutes for sure, but I saw a lot of Taj Gibson, a lot of Joakim Noah, and I fell in love with the team. I fell in love with their heart and hustle. Like, I mean, I know it's like the Stacey King phrase, but I just love the way that they played basketball and how hard they – I always root for the underdog, and they were like the ultimate underdog team after losing two of their best players. No one believed in them. And obviously they made it into the playoffs and haven't been able to put them down since. But I've basically only known heartbreak as a Bulls fan because I've been a fan since 2014. Not a lot of great things have happened then. So I think you're right, Ross, that this is one of the most exciting times, at least in my fandom, that I've experienced so far is, wow, Garpax is out. They're making changes. Very, very different change of pace in the way Arturas handles things. He's very, very quiet, but he's aggressive. He knows what he wants. And he goes out and gets it. And so from a cap standpoint, and I know Laro and I have gone over this with Stefano and some others, you know, the things don't look really exciting. Yeah. Yes. Yes, Santiago. Yes. You have a much better reason. I'm telling you, always root for the underdog. So, hey, Fredette's like a god in China right now. So, I'm just saying.
It's true.
He's doing just fine for himself. And if anyone has a Jimmer Fredette Bulls jersey, please let me know. I will buy it off you. I will buy it. I got off my train of thought. But if you look at this offseason, there's not a lot of optimism. We definitely need a point guard. We need, you know, some wing help. We may need a backup big if Tyus walks. And Lowry's probably going to walk too. It's difficult to see if we're going to get, you know, trade for him. But I have this optimism that I've never had before. I never had optimism in Garpax doing anything when they're in a corner.
Right.
But with Arturas, I'm like, he's got to have something up his sleeve.
Right.
Right. He's got to have something going on that I'm going to be impressed or surprised about this summer. And that's a feeling that I've never had before as a Bulls fan. And I think you've managed to capture that feeling. And you know, I'm not sure if you've monetized it necessarily yet, but you're moving towards that, and you're channeling the energy of the Bulls fan. So, you know, it's really exciting to see, and that's why we want to have you on in the first place. It's just because it's such an exciting thing to see a bunch of people follow you because of that AK energy and the memes and the responses. Let's see. I know there's some comments here I wanted to address. Simonovic, is he a replacement for Lowry? Sakati Thompson says that. So I know you've had a video breakdown of it. Laro and I talked about it last week, had a film breakdown on our show last week. I think there's some high potential there. He has a very similar skill set to Lowry. Feel like he has a wider skill set than Lowry, but maybe not as good at the one thing that Lowry was really good at, which was obviously shooting.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the interesting thing with Simonovic versus like Lowry as a comparison, Lowry is strong, but for no reason. You know, like he's buff and he's built, but like he doesn't do anything with it. And like Simonovic, he's lanky and he's long and he's fine with that. Like, I think he's good playing that role and he's a good shooter. He's got a lot of potential as a passer. Defense, we'll see. But that's the funny thing when I make the comparison between Lowry. It's like Simonovic, I think, can have a higher potential offensively if he just doesn't focus on whatever Lowry was focusing on in the offseason for no reason. Like, if you're not going to bulk up and become a post presence, don't bulk up. There's no point for it. You don't need to do it. So I think Simonovic has high potential as a nice bench scoring piece. And we'll see. You know, maybe, I don't know, he found Jokic in the second round. I don't know. I don't want to make the comparison. It's not fair to Simonovic, but like, who knows?
You have made the comparison. Don't lie. It's in the title of your video.
It's in the video. Yeah, I did make the comparison. I think it's there. It's because they played for the same team. You know, obviously coming over from the same country. Like, the comparison is there. It's Arturis Karnišovas. But at the same time, like, let's let Marco do his thing. Hopefully, he comes over this offseason. Maybe participates in summer league. That'd be really cool. And give the guy some space to grow. I'm very excited for his potential.
Yeah, I totally agree on a lot of the fronts you said. His ability on offense he's gonna be fun. I think just with how Billy likes to run his offense, it's like more of a free flowing offense. Like, I think Marco is gonna come in and fit right in. I mean, he can handle the ball, dribble handoffs, catch and shoot. He's got some potential as a movement shooter. Like you said, he's got some potential as a passer. Like, he rebounds really well for his, he's really like lanky, like you said, and he uses it with rebounds. He doesn't let the ball come down. He goes and gets it, you know, he's fun on offense. Defensively, you're right. Like, I watched about 9 games of him, and I was watching more today. If you ask him to do anything other than drop, like, I've seen a couple drop possessions where he looked pretty good. But if you ask him to show him recover, play at the level of the screen, it ain't looking too good. He's just not good laterally, you know? So, and if he can't do that in the ABA league, there's no way in hell he's going to be able to do any of that in the NBA. So, he's going to be fun. I think Bulls fans will like him offensively. If he comes over, who knows? We'll see.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got a couple of questions here. The MG Blazer, do Aminu or Saddle even have trade value? I would say Aminu probably doesn't right now, unless he has seriously rehabbed from his injury. Saddle, I do think he's a valued contract. He's a very switchable 1-3 defender. He can play a point guard. He can play shooting guard, small forward. I think he definitely does have to trade value and could be someone that we could dangle at the deadline to improve the team.
I think the Clippers, it wasn't a rumor the Clippers were looking into trying to make a move for Saddle.
They were. They were looking for some more ball handling help in general, I think, and ended up trading for Rondo, which playoff Rondo. I'm not sure. I know it does, but I'm not sure if playoff Rondo is still around. Let's see.
The injury
is Lowry Steven Nagishi. I hope I'm saying that right. Is Lowry a sign and trade candidate or is a restricted free agent? He's a restricted free agent. There is a possibility of sign and trade. He is a candidate for it, but a lot of teams have cap space. Specifically, the Spurs have been linked to being interested in him, and they do have cap space to sign him. So, My this is one of those things, Ross, that goes back to that sense, that feeling. They didn't move him at the deadline. There was a lot of chatter about them moving him at the deadline. So my feeling is they didn't because there was some reason why they wanted to wait. And maybe that's not true, but I would say it's like a 10% chance he's like going to get signed and traded. Probably he's going to walk for nothing.
Yeah, I remember like 2 days before the draft, or for the trade deadline, pardon, I was listening to Casey Johnson, and he was talking about how like Laurie has this trade value and Wendell Carter Jr. doesn't have any trade value. And then, well, Laurie didn't get traded and Wendell Carter Jr. did. And I was like, okay, so maybe we don't know at all what's going on behind the scenes. And with Laurie Markkanen, it's like part of me feels like we kind of missed the boat on that. Like maybe if we did trade him pre-trade deadline, before he had that injury, before he kind of had a, you know, really lukewarm second half of the season, maybe there was something there. And now it's like, I don't really see it. I don't know what team is going to give up an asset to get Laurie Markkanen unless he's a part of a trade that includes Coby White and some sort of future pick or something. I just don't see it. So you're probably right. He might end up walking for nothing.
The only thing, I floated this idea, is the team may be motivated to do so if they've got another piece of salary that they want to move off of. Like, for example, the Pelicans don't want Eric Bledsoe's contract of $18 million this year. We need some point guard help, and with Coby out, we may need some extra help. And so if there was an opportunity to sign Lonzo and bring, you know, Bledsoe's contract, they, you know, that may be something that could work. But I agree, it's really a low chance that it's going to happen. I think that ship has sailed, but we'll see. Yeah. Let's see. Do we think Big Ricky 34 says, do we think that trying Pat at the five could work at times this season? I think he's got the body to play small ball five and small port. I think it's too much to ask of him early on, but I think absolutely down the road, he'll be able to hold up. He's been a good secondary rim protector in college, and he's definitely got the defensive instincts and size and movement to be able to do so. But I know Larry could probably speak more on that, but I think he could down the line. I would not ask him to do it this season much at all, if at all.
Yeah.
No, there's no, like, in the future, of course. But I mean, the dude is, he's got to learn some other things first. I mean, before moving to the five and ask him to, you know, be in the drop. He's not played in drop. He's not played at the level of the screen. Like, we can't ask him to do any of that stuff yet. He has to learn how to do these other things first. But he is a candidate, I think, to be a small ball five, just like Scotty Barnes is coming out this year. I think they're very similar in terms of, you know, size and the skill set that they can bring. So I think he's has some of that coming up, and then we'll see.
He needs to play some more four, first of all. Like,
we
got to get him off of the perimeter until he's comfortable playing in interior. But that's another thing. That's another reason I think we might not keep Tice is we need to make space for, well, number one is the money aspect. We really need help at the wing and at the guard spot, especially at point of attack. And so I don't know, we'll see. But All Around Designs, our man who has a really nice Pat shirt that I got, and the Vucci shirt that Laro's rocking today. He says, any favorite wing free agents you guys want? So we went over this. We had an episode with Stefan Noe a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Where we talked about all the wing free agents. There's actually quite a bit of discount or like buy low candidates, like Justice Winslow, for example. Mm-hmm. Cam Reddish may be available. There's guys, older guys like Mo Harkless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's actually some decent ones. Our guy, THT. Reggie Bullock, THT, Taylor Horton Tucker out of Lakers is going to be a restricted free agent. So there's definitely opportunity there, I think. But if you want to get a more in-depth thing, I would suggest go listen to an episode with Stefan Noe that we had a few weeks ago. We really went into a lot of depth there. Thanks, you guys, for your questions. We'll get back to your questions. I do want to say we want to test Ross on really, you know, you claim to be the biggest Arturas Karnišovas fan in Bulls Nation. So I wanted to ask you a few trivia questions about AK and see really how much you know about him. And so we'll see. I'll be very impressed if you get them all, but we'll start with a simple one. What country was AK born in?
He's from Lithuania, from Lituva. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
I would not know enough to correct you, so we'll give it to you. All right. What month was Arturis born in?
His birthday wasn't that long ago. Is it April?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right.
a Taurus like myself, I'm not sure if people are into that kind of stuff. I'm not about to say. Okay. Arturis Karnišovas was a famed European basketball player. He led the Lithuanian team to two bronze medals in the Olympics. Do you remember what years? It was consecutive years. If that'll help you a little bit.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be hard, guys. It's 92 and 96.
Oh.
Okay. Okay. All right, Ross.
Okay.
I see you. Let's go.
All right. He was also named the FIBA European Player of the Year in what year?
Okay. 97? No.
Got him.
96.
Damn.
The same year he led the got the bronze medal.
That was a good one.
All right. I think you'll know this one. Arturis finally made his way into the NBA as an international scout. He did this for 5 years with what NBA team?
With the Rockets.
Houston Rockets. Yeah. That's correct. All right. Last one. This one might be tough. Okay. How many sons does AK have besides all three of us, obviously?
Right. And all of Bulls Nation.
All of Bulls Nation has adopted sons.
At least two. I'm going to say two.
It is three sons. At least two. So I'll give you half points. So I'll give you halves on number four and six. So yeah, I'll give you 5 out of 6 points. That's pretty impressive. I'll take it. So a little trivia for you. I hope you guys, yeah, there you go. Jordan Dynasty. What's up? An AK fan club we trust.
Appreciate you. All right.
Any other AK knowledge you want to drop on us that people might not know?
Oh man, I'm trying to think. He was in the documentary, The Other Dream Team. He's a part of the documentary from the 92 team that played against the Dream Team at the Olympics. Obviously, like you already mentioned, they ended up with bronze, which was pretty much a huge accomplishment for this like no-name team from Lithuania. And those for both 92 and 96, the Grateful Dead designed their merch and their t-shirts that they wore, which is really cool. So that's one of my personal favorite AK fun facts are the Grateful Dead shirts, which it's like a hidden gem for me. I really want to get one of those shirts one day. Go check those out if you haven't checked them out before. They're really cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Sort of like Grateful Dead Lithuania Olympics. It'll come up.
Man.
I did not know that before. So, I mean, I do not claim to be an AK, the leader of the AK fan club. Yeah, but
not me either. Yeah, but that is pretty cool, though. That's a pretty cool nugget you just dropped. I didn't know anything about that.
Yeah.
Man, oh, Jordan Dynasty is actually our boy Salim, man. I think that's Salim.
Oh, is he sneaking in our chat?
I think he's on Twitter. Doing the Periscope deal, I think.
Okay, I was gonna say, is he trying to create some burner accounts and increase his number one fandom in our chat here? Just dropping. I mean, we already got Bears Barroom. They got 1, 2, 3, 4 different. Every time they type something, it comes up four times. They're really milking the burners,
man.
The Barroom network for us.
Dude.
Yeah, Logan Moyano says, you're not a real AK fan. Hey, man, he got 5 out of 6, I'll say. I mean, I'm impressed.
Yeah,
I mean, if he knew the names and ages of the Suns, that would worry me a little bit, actually.
Yeah, no, that's too far. That that was one of my fears of, like, being a Stan account, which, you know, Stan accounts, we people are Stan accounts and they take it too far sometimes. I don't want to take it too far. I'm a fan of his work, not necessarily of trying to creep on the guy.
Well, let me ask you this then. What's been your favorite AK moment or move so far in this? He's been there now over a year.
Yeah. So if you want to talk just moment, like condensed moment, not necessarily a move, just like a thing he did, him right in the draft lottery when the Bulls moved up, it was before the pick was even announced what pick we got, just knowing that we had moved up. He had a really funny reaction. And that was one of my favorite moments of like, oh shit, this guy's a real person. Like, he's very private. He's a very, he keeps things pretty close to the vest, as you guys know, especially with his personal life. And like, that was the first time in his tenure as, you know, executive vice president that we had seen some character and some life. Cause like he had just been like, yes, I'm very excited to be in Chicago, like that kind of thing.
Right.
Up until that point. And yeah, just seeing that was really fun. Another moment that I really liked was after the Vooch trade, someone asked him, what were the protections on the picks? And he just goes, I'm not going to share that right now. Very dramatically, very just shut them down immediately. Is just like, I'm not going to talk about that. Like, all right, man, this guy's for real. This guy means business. So I really like that he kind of has a fun side. But when it comes to basketball, man, he takes it super seriously. And I appreciate that from my executive.
I just one of the things I love about him is just that respect that he has on the European side of things. Like, obviously, he has respect here as well. But just like hearing some of the stories like about him, like there's not one gym he hasn't been in, like over there. And it's like, I love that, man, because you got to be a basketball nut not to, you know, like I love everything about the dude and I want him to be successful. And I obviously there's probably some people that are like praying for his downfall just so they can continue to bag on, you know, but I love what he's doing. He's aggressive. He keeps everything close to him. And that's something I respect, man. I love everything about the guy.
He's a junkie. There's one more. All right. One more thing. I could talk about AK forever. I need to find out. I need someone who has an inside source to find out. This guy has a Jordan collection. Because if you go through the photos of him, like on the practice field or on the practice court, on the sideline with Mark Eversley, like he's wearing a different pair of Jordans in like every photo. I know this guy has a collection. We need to see it. We need to learn more about this. Because he is obviously a sneakerhead. I know it.
I wonder if it's specifically just for Jordan because he, you know, played against him on the Dream Team.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's just the highlights. Santiago Cordova, he got another question for you. He says, what college did AK play
for? Oh, he was at Seton Hall. Coach? Yeah, I don't know the coach. Yeah, I don't know the coach off the top of my head. Let's see.
Laro? We might have to consult the Google for this one.
Yeah,
unless Santiago knows. Let's see.
So he was Seton Hall 90s coach. Let's see.
Ross is on it.
George Blaney? PJ Carlissimo? It was probably Carlissimo. Yeah. That's good. I like that.
I remember that came up with a reporter once. I can't remember who asked him, maybe like Casey Johnson, but I remember they asked him about PJ Carlissimo and his relationship with him. So that makes sense.
That's a good question. That's really good.
What's AK's favorite movie? I don't know. We got to think of a good meme for that one.
I don't know. That one's kind of abstract. I can think of something funny if you give me a few minutes.
Yeah, we'll come back to that one. Okay, so I wanted to... This season had some highs and some lows, but I wanted to talk about our favorite play of the season. It could be a specific offensive set. That's more Laro's flavor, I know. It could just be a really nice dunk. So we'll start with you, Laro. What was your favorite play of the season? I think Aldo's got some queued up for us.
I kind of cheated.
Did you cheat?
I had two, man.
I can't trust you with anything. Come on now.
I had two. But I could cut it down to one. I can cut it down to one.
Well, let's see the two. I'm all about the highlights. Let's see them.
Yeah.
So, although you could just run whichever one, that's fine. So this one.
I
loved everything about this because I know this brother needed some Ben Gay after the game after this. so this right here is just, I love seeing Thad just throw this thing down. And Jaden McDaniels is a pretty good defender too. So it's like it's not like him dunking, you know, over some guard. This is just him just terrorizing the rim over a pretty good defender. And I loved everything about this one.
So Laro, I can't remember if this was the exact play, but Thad had a dunk this year. It may have been against Jaden McDaniels, but he said that when he was playing, that somebody was talking smack against him, telling him he was old, telling him he didn't have it anymore. And so he's like, okay, let me show you something. It may have been Jaden McDaniels here. But if it was, Jaden McDaniels got shut up pretty well.
I hope Jaden won the one talking, man. That man.
Yeah.
And then my second one is, you know, I had to go with a play from my son, one of my favorite picks of Bulls, like, already. And this right here, man, Pat Williams. Mm-hmm. I mean,
this block was such a nice block.
I mean, listening to Thad describe that, Pat didn't even know he did something like insane. Like he didn't, he just thought he just made a good play. He didn't think it was insane. Like what type of play, what kind of instincts, what type of timing, what type of just like that. That is just, man, I could watch that play all day.
Yeah.
So for audio listeners, that's the play. This is the play when DeAndre Ayton just cocked back for a huge baseline dunk, and Pat just comes up, just mid cockback, just says, "Nope, I'll take that. Thank you very much." And that was a big moment for me when I saw that. I was like, "Okay, this guy can play." I just haven't seen anything out of Pat so far that worries me. Everything he does, I'm like, he can do this, he can do that. He's got to do more, but man, he's just got so much talent there. He's got so much talent.
There's a lot there. Right. That was the paw moment for me. That was like the paw is the right nickname for this guy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's so perfect that his favorite player is Kawhi. He models his game after Kawhi, and then the paw is so similar to the claw. We're just leaning so hard into this.
I know, right?
You know, I don't want to tell people that he's going to be Kawhi Leonard. Like that would be unfair to Kawhi Leonard to compare him to such a great player as Patrick Williams, but you know, we just want to make sure that Pat gets all the love he deserves here. All right, I want to do my play. I'll save yours for last, Ross. But my play is from our dearly departed Wendell Carter Jr. Now, this play is my favorite of the season, and there's a backstory to this. This man dunks on LeBron James. LeBron James. All over him. And the reason why this was important to me, this made my day. The reason why is because a couple years ago, I think it was Wendell Carter was a rookie or a second year, 2K had like one of their promo videos for their upcoming game. And in the 2K video, LeBron James dunks all over a digitized version of Wendell Carter. And Wendell Carter got on Twitter and was like, had taken exception to, I think he'd like tweeted at Ronnie 2K or someone. About this. And so this, I know Wendell Carter thought about that moment when he dunked on LeBron. You know he thought about that, and he's like, okay, we'll see what happens in real life. You see me dunk on LeBron, you know, he probably threw that 2K game away. But it was special for me as a Wendell Carter fan. I always rooted for the guy and thought he was better than he got treated. But that was a really special moment for him, I thought.
Yeah.
Man, look, that –
it's a man's game.
And one. He didn't get called for it, but that was an and one.
Yeah. That brother continues to play with confidence. He's going to be all right. He'll be fine.
Yeah, he's going to be a player good for a long time.
Yeah.
All right, well, Ross, what you got for us?
All right. So, you know, the Patrick Williams block was definitely like when you guys asked me for a favorite play, I was like, well, that was like the hype moment I remember. Mm-hmm. But there was a specific dunk against the Pacers in a stretch of games where it was right after the trade. We had had that horrible losing streak, and then we went on a three-game winning streak, and Zach did this against Caelan Martin, and it is just, I don't know, man. Like, Zach LaVine dunks on everyone, but you jump. You don't jump. That's the thing, man. You got to know it. Zach LaVine, you get out of the way. You let him do his thing. He didn't get out of the way, and he got put on a poster, and I love this dunk. This was a moment when I watched this moment, and I remember back then it was April 6th, I think, and I was like, we're going to the playoffs. And then he got COVID and, a bunch of crap. But, oh, man, that was just such a moment for me. I just vividly remember it. Like, you could probably go find the tweet if you go back to April 6th of me like, we're going to the playoffs. Zach LaVine is amazing. Nobody can stop.
Man. That's just one of those Stacey King moments like, didn't you get the memo?
Get up or get out of the way.
Man.
I love me some Zach dunks.
Yeah. Yes.
It makes me miss Taj Gibson dunks.
Ooh.
Because Taj was always so mad at the rim whenever he dunked. He just, especially that one on Wade in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Was it the playoffs? Yeah. I think it was the playoffs.
Yeah, it was the playoffs. Yeah.
When he dunked on Wade. Oh, that was nice.
That was nice.
I that is some courage, man. Like when you, as a defender, if you see Zach LaVine have a chance to gather and you still think you can go get that, there's something wrong with you.
That's what I'm saying, man. He has so many uncontested dunks that are amazing because he's Zach LaVine. You know, he can fly. Mm-hmm. But every now and then, someone's like, ah, I bet I could block him. Like, what are you thinking? You can't. No one's ever done it. It's not going to happen.
Has it ever happened? Has anyone ever blocked Zach on like a cockback
dunk? I've never seen it. I've never seen him get like stuffed, you know? I don't think I've seen it.
You know, All Around Designs is right. Sato's had a few pretty surprising posters this year as well. True. Some nice dunks. Oh, it reminds me. I love Wendell Carter dunks, man. He dunked on Jokic one of his last games, like right in the beginning of the game. He also had. Remember when he blocked Russell Westbrook at the rim?
Yeah, absolutely. You
remember that dunk? Oh man, that was fun too. God bless that man. I hope he's fine.
Yeah, good luck to him.
Those were fun times. All right, so let's do. Got favorite plays from the season. I wanted to talk a little bit about looking forward to this offseason. I know we're right in the midst of the Western Conference, East Conference Finals right now, but the playoffs are going to be over soon. We're going to have the draft, and then soon after, we're going to have free agency. And we talked about, you know, AK having something up his sleeve, but realistically, well, let me ask you this, Ross. What's your, like, pie-in-the-sky type of dream for the offseason? And then what do you think is really going to happen? And are those one and the same?
Well, yeah, I mean, so Lonzo is a goal. And I think we're Bulls fans. We've talked about Lonzo forever. I don't need to tell you guys about Lonzo. And I think it's realistic. I don't think Lonzo is an unrealistic goal. So I think they are kind of one and the same because we can get Lonzo. It's not unrealistic. And we should be trying to get him. Zach is good friends with him. They've been posting videos together in the offseason or liking each other's content on Instagram and stuff. And part of, like Laro said earlier, part of what we're doing right now is convincing Zach LaVine to stay long term. You know, like there's kind of a courting going on this offseason of like, we're serious about being a playoff team. You want to stay in Chicago. You don't want to go get, you know, recruited by your new Olympic buddies. You want to stay here and form something big. So Lonzo is my goal. Lonzo is realistic. If not Lonzo, someone like Spencer Dinwiddie, I'd be happy with. And then wing depth at the margins. One of my friends, Nick, is a big fan of Torrey Craig. And, you know, he's playing in the playoffs. I've been kind of watching him with a side eye, excited about that guy. So there are little moves like that on the margins that need to be made. But, like, the big goal, I think, should be a guy like Lonzo.
Yeah. I love the Torrey Craig idea is a great idea. I was hoping we'd actually pick him up at the deadline. Phoenix Suns end up getting him for basically nothing. I think, is it Famous Nick? Famous Nick, I think it was one of the first, I think it was the first comment in the chat tonight. I'm not sure if he's still here, but shout out Nick. So he's a fun follow. And yeah, you're right. He's a big Torrey Craig fan. So he needs to be like a Snell season kind of thing. needs to be a Craig season. Let's see. Skokes, the Hokic. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. But I know this is the second time you've asked this, so I want to make sure it got to you. What position do you guys think should be our focus in the draft this month? So we do have the 38th pick in the draft. I'm hoping that, you know, Lara and I are going to bring someone on that is a, you know, on from draft Twitter to talk about what our prospects are. But just from a general standpoint, what kind of position or what kind of talent you guys think we should be looking for in the second round to add to the team?
Wing depth.
There's a couple. I mean, it depends on how the draft is going to fall. But I mean, because a couple months ago, Trey Mann was looked at as like someone that could fall maybe late first round, early second round. And now he's starting to get some first round buzz. But Dacian Nix, David Johnson. I mean, those are two names as a point guard that you can look at in the second round. I mean, there's some guys that I have in my head, but I can't think of right now, but they're names, but there's some talent there. I think wing depth is one, but also if you can snag like a Dacian Nix in the second round, you know, that might be something to think about as well. So,
So
we last week we talked about Vasilije Micić being a possibility because the Sixers have his rights. And I know there was a podcast this week by Brian Windhorst, Hoops Collective. They talked about kind of the OKC Thunder timeline. And obviously, Micić is 27 years old. He's an amazing player in Europe this year. If it came down to it and we had to offer a second-round pick for it, I would not mind bringing in Micić for that second-round pick this year. Blair and I broke down his film. We're a little high on him. He's
yeah,
that guy can play. That guy can play ball.
He can ball. Defenders. Yeah,
he's good. That would be you know, I would rather not have to. But if that's what it took, if it was a second round pick this year, I would probably do that for Micić, in my opinion. Yeah. Especially with Kobe sidelined, you know, for who knows how long, 4 to 6 months. But
yeah. Especially if the idea is to waive and stretch Sato or throw him in a different trade package, who knows? Micić would be the perfect replacement for Sato. So I'm fully on board with that.
Yeah, that'd be really fun. Let's see.
A lot of flavor, a lot of seasoning. That's mm-hmm. what Micić is, man.
Mm-hmm. The like step back. Oh, that guy's good. Okay. let's see. Salim is back on his main account. No more burners. Twitter. I'm just kidding. Yeah, follow at Jordan Dynasty on Twitter, my guy Salim Sudawala and Bulls Gold. But what do you make of AK interviewing lottery picks and first round talent still in the draft, just covering his bases, or do you think he'll definitely trade back into this draft? So I thought this too. I also heard that the interviews sometimes are randomly assigned. So I'm not sure if it's just that's the way it turned out or if he's actually planning. I think I would not put it past him to trade in the first round, but my initial thought is he's probably not going to do so. He's probably going to look for more veteran proven talent to try and build this playoff roster rather than trying to get, you know, someone in the first round that's a prospect. But that's just my initial thought. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but that would be my initial thought on that. What about you guys?
Yeah, it's not super realistic to trade into the lottery. There's just not a lot we have to give up to do that. And like you said, we're looking more at veterans. We're kind of done with acquiring picks to develop talent. Like, we really want to get guys who can play right now. So it's, once again, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but you know, the draft combine being in Chicago just kind of makes sense. You do your due diligence, you talk to these guys. And a lot of that probably occurred before we knew what was happening with the pick too. You know, they're doing meetings over Zoom. They're not traveling necessarily to meet all these guys. So we'll see. I don't put it past AK necessarily, but it's not super realistic, I don't think. And if they were to trade up, it would probably be late first round, like in the 20s, to maybe get a guy that they see is falling and, you know, they value pretty highly and they want to snag him.
Yeah. And I think overall wing depth, I mean, you can never have enough quality wings in the NBA.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look at the Suns, man.
Defensive minded wings.
Yeah.
100%. Hey, TBJ is coming. He's going to be good. Yeah. I think he's going to be really
good. I'm high on TBJ. I'm a big believer in TBJ. 100%.
I think he'd be really great. I think he was doing really well. I think he twisted his ankle or something.
Yeah.
But he, if you watch that game he had against Kyrie, defending Kyrie, that was impressive to me. So, I mean, no one can stay in front of Kyrie, but he asked for a role. Donovan gave him a role and he performed the role. Yeah. So, I mean, if he can, and he showed some ball handling skills in the bubble with Washington Wizards, and then obviously ended up out of the rotation. But I think he's got some skill, and he's on a cheap contract. I still think, even as well as Daniel Gafford has done in Washington, I still think the trade was worth it to get TBJ. I think it's a much higher position of need for the Bulls, and it's you know, you can a center position, especially backup center, is one of the easiest places to find value in the NBA. So wing is not. So I would definitely, all things being equal, I would take a prospect wing over a prospect big. So I'm happy with him in that. But let's see. Stephen Ishii asks, and I don't know who this is, so Laro, you have to let me know. Johnny Hussain
from UCLA.
What do you think of him as a prospect?
Going into March Madness, I didn't watch a lot of UCLA games, but being able to see him in the March Madness really showed that he's probably going to be able to have some scoring ability in the NBA. And then from the combine, just seeing him, his workouts and the games, I think he can I think he's going to be able to score at this level. And also have some be able to ball handle and initiate offense, things like that. So I like him. I do, man. Coming into the tournament, I knew a little bit about him, but just being able to see him more, like, you know, more games, I like what I saw. I think he's going to be able to score the rock. So
where is he being projected?
Second round, I believe. Okay. At least late first.
So All Around Designs mentions Rocco. I think he's might be available in the second round as well, though I've heard different things about him. But what have you guys heard about Rocco, if anything?
I like Rocco. I just did a video on Rocco. I'm a big fan. I think the dude is athletic. He's very crafty at the rim. And he has a feel, you know? There's guys that you just, like, you can see it, you know? He just plays bad. Like, the thing that I look for when I'm looking at guys in Europe is, like, are they able to dominate those players? Because if they're not able to dominate in Europe, like, Rocco's in Croatia. So, like, if you're in Croatia and you're not able to, like, look above and beyond all these other guys who are never going to sniff the NBA, that's a red flag. Rocco, you watch him, he stands out. He just stands out. You watch his tape. It's like some guys you watch on tape, like, all right, which number is this guy? Which one am I looking for? Like, you know who you're looking for. He loves to dunk too. Yeah. Like, when the dude sniffs the rim, it's a dunk every single time. So he's going to be putting people on posters. Like I said, he's crafty. He plays defense. He's got a bag. I'm high on the guy. I really like him. I'd be really happy if we got him with our second round pick.
Total. I agree. But man, like, after watching him, because I was scouting Marco in one of the games I scouted Marco that he played against Cibona, which happens to have Rocco. So I just fell into, like, watching some games of Rocco. And I'm telling you, man, this dude, I wouldn't be surprised if a team took a chance on him in late lotto. I wouldn't be surprised at all. The dude is going to be able to do it all, man. He's just defensively, he's going to be really good. I think he's just he's a dude. He's a dude. Yeah. Like, shout out my boy Ev. He's a dude. Seriously. So he can play.
His name's Rocco Praction, I think is how you pronounce it. It's a weird spelling.
Yeah.
I can't help you on this one. Maybe I can.
It's Prkacin. Praction.
Yeah. That's definitely a Croatian name.
Yeah.
Seems like there's, like, a missing syllable, but I know a lot of Croatians that have those names. So, yeah, he'd be a lot of fun. Let's see. Okay, before I get any other questions, I wanted to ask you guys. All right, assuming we can't sign the person in free agency we want to sign, what are some trade scenarios you guys have looked at to try and bring a player in? And I would like to say the crazier and the more unrealistic, the better, because we're just trying to have fun here. We don't have any power to do anything. So what's your, like, pie in the sky trade, or you know, what kind of trades are you guys thinking to get people here?
KD wants to dunk on Scotty, so he demands a trade.
What are we trading? Would we trade Thad in that situation? We got Thad, Sato.
Yeah.
There we go.
That matches the salary.
KD?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying, what do we have to do for the salary to make this legal? Would we trade Sato? No, I like Sato a lot.
Sato's the non-starter. If you throw Sato in, sorry, can't get Kevin Durant.
My bad.
Apparently, Miami Heat are interested in trading Tyler Hero this offseason, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
You know, maybe they're trying to get Zach LaVine straight up for him. We'll see. They tried that before.
Oh, like the Lakers are trying to get LaVine for Kuz straight up?
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
did you see that tweet?
Yeah. The perspective I have on it, if you see a trade machine screenshot from Lakers Twitter, just ignore it. Just don't give it attention.
And then they have the audacity to say, who says no?
They're tripping. So I called Zach LaVine Schrodinger's player because every other fan base thinks he is both not good enough to win with and exactly what they need to win.
Exactly.
It's like they will shit on him nonstop because they don't want him. And then the second that they need a player, they're like, oh, well, let's just get Zach LaVine for the cheap. No.
Exactly. Or it's like, hey, I mean, he's not really worth that much. Like, we'll just, you know, we'll throw in something, but he's, you know, he's exactly exactly what we need. It's the perfect player.
Dude just had a historic, efficient scoring season. Let's get him on the cheap. Yeah, okay.
Easy.
Yeah.
Well, he may leave next year. You never know. So let's sell him for 2 seconds in Coos.
Ben,
all right,
Ben
so
Simmons
we got some,
in a second.
We got some fun ideas. So All Around Designs had Simmons, Ben Simmons. I know he's been in the trade rumors. I would love to have Ben Simmons here, but on the condition that it have to be next to LaVine and Vooch. Right. If you trade LaVine for him, no, thank you. No, thank you. I love Ben Simmons. He's a great player. I know, Lero, you're a big Ben Simmons guy. But if he requires a very, very specific skill set around him to maximize his potential, which we have not seen in Philly, and would, I think, fit Vooch and Zach really, really, really well. We don't have a whole lot to trade for him, but that's why I said on Twitter the other day, you guys slander him all you want. Please tell people that he is the worst player in the world, because that just lowers his trade value and heightens the chance that we have to get him. And if you could get him for, as All Around Design says, Kobe, Lowry, Aminu, and a second, yes, please. Never going to happen, but yes, please.
If they did that, I will go rent a U-Haul. I will help move them out of their places and drive them to wherever they need to go get that brother Ben Simmons.
You know, I like Ben Simmons. I don't know if I'd trade Kobe for him.
Oh,
I, honestly.
Oh, Santiago. Oh.
I, man,
that's mean. Dropping bombs here.
That's me.
Oh, man.
I just with Kobe, I would love to see a lineup of Simmons, Kobe, LaVine, you know, like that. That would be
fun.
Yeah, it would be fun. It would be hard for me to give up Kobe in the trade, but yeah, I mean, people are definitely dogging on the guy, and he still has a lot of value. You know, it's not like he's a horrible player because he had a bad series. People have bad series. He's still young, so it happens.
Here's the thing with the Ben Simmons ideas is, in my opinion, the only way it's going to happen is if a third team is involved, because if we don't have any assets that the Sixers could really, really use right now other than Zach LaVine, which we're not trading.
Right.
So you have to find a third party, a third team that has those types of assets, willing to trade. You know, a team like that maybe has a really nice veteran piece or an all-star, but is looking to, you know, realizes they're not going to be able to do it and wants to shift into another direction and could use younger assets or draft picks that we could provide. And then we could get Ben Simmons and they could give the veteran players to the Sixers.
Right.
Problem is I can't really find a team like that other than maybe like the Timberwolves maybe, or the Kings, because they're always kind of in that stratosphere of not good enough, but have some decent players that, you know, could be shifted around. But that one's tough. I would love to see Ben Simmons here. I just don't really see a realistic scenario to get it done at this point that makes sense for both sides.
No.
So pour one out for that. But let's see. Brunson and Green for Markkanen.
What do you mean, Josh Green?
Josh Green? I'd be all over that. So Jalen Brunson on the Mavs.
Yeah.
This is interesting because there were rumors that Lowry is interested in the Mavs. Obviously, the Mavs are interested in a cheaper version of
anyone to get rid of Porzingis. Well, anybody?
I mean, if you could get Porzingis light production at half the Porzingis price, you know, if you could sign Lowry for $16 million, that's, you know, about half what Porzingis is making. Maybe that's going to happen. But I would love to get Brunson on the team. Brunson would be a really great spot. He's from Chicago, and he's held it down at the backup point guard spot. We were talking about Reggie Jackson becoming like a superstar in the playoffs. And like, but now here's the thing. Before you cringe, I see the cringing. Just saying, we need to find next year's Reggie Jackson, right? Because Reggie Jackson's about to get paid. Cameron Payne's about to get paid because of their performances, because of what they've done this season.
Yeah.
But we need to look for someone on the cheap that's had a down year, maybe is injured or just isn't on the right fit. If we can get in on trades, on the periphery of trades, bigger trades that are happening, and pick up guys, kind of like the Cavs did, picking up Jared Allen from the Nets in the James Harden trade, right? It was a periphery move, or getting Caris LeVert for the Pacers, right? That helped those teams and kind of got them on cheap. Those are the types of moves I think AK's got to make this offseason to really maximize his talent and find those value deals. So that's kind of our map. Let's see what else we've got here. what assets do you trade? So Santiago, what assets do you trade to get back into the first round if a Pat Williams type falls to mid first? I think Ross, you kind of addressed that a little bit earlier.
Realistically, it's not really there. I guess if someone is high on Laurie and maybe they want to do a sign and trade and get you that pick, but like the Warriors, I know that that's been mentioned before. Like they have the 14th pick, I think. And, you know, maybe they want to try to get a guy like Laurie Markkanen because they're in win now mode too. I don't know. It's just not super realistic. I think if you really want to make a trade like that, like you want to get a draft prospect, you'd have to trade probably Laurie and Kobe and execute a sign-in trade.
Yeah. Oh, here's another one. Yeah, sorry. Go for it, Lara, before I do that.
I'm not giving up on maybe trying to move for Malcolm Brogdon. I would love to have Malcolm Brogdon here.
Yeah.
But do you think that would be a place that Lowry would – oh, wait, you're right. Oh,
yeah.
Man, He ain't going to leave Rick.
Nah, yeah.
Rick Carlisle's a good coach, man.
And you give him Sabonis. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Detroit
still got Turner, too.
Get Cade. Yeah. They do. They got Detroit Pistons just got Cade, and the Pacers just got Rick Carlisle this week. It is not a great day to be in the Central Division rivalry. it's been a little tough. But hey, someone from the Pacers, TJ McConnell.
I like TJ McConnell. He's got I would be sad if he was our like big free agent signing this offseason, because like he's a backup point guard, you know. But he's good.
He's Ryan Arcidiacono on steroids for me. Like he's a ball of energy on defense. If you look at his shot chart, it's like blazing sun around the rim.
Yeah.
He's really crafty around the basket actually for his size, and he's a pesky defender. But I would agree, Ross, like that would be a little bit disappointing. Although that said, when our only free agent signing this offseason was Garrett Temple, I was a little down on it. Nothing against Garrett Temple, but I was a little underwhelmed.
Right.
Turned out Garrett Temple was not only a great signing, but we needed him way too much this year.
Yeah.
So I'd like to not have to rely on a 35-year-old to play our perimeter defense. Yeah. But, you know, these are the types of guys, the guys that we're down on right now.
Yeah.
This is why the OKC Thunder keep making money. Because they're taking guys in, they're rehabbing them, they're getting first round picks on the way in and first round picks on the way out. These guys are brilliant. Yeah. I mean, they got to build a team someday, but So Sexton, so Steve Nagishi talks about there were some rumors about Colin Sexton, who had a really great season, but in my opinion, isn't necessarily. So what would he? I think Garland. So I'm sorry, Steven's question is: do you think they'll part with either Sexton or Garland, and would either help the Bulls? I think they're more likely to part with Sexton, if anybody. Yeah. Unfortunately, I think he is less useful than Garland would be to us.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Yeah.
But I mean, Sexton's good, but he's also a score first kind of.
Yeah.
He's in the same mold as Zach and Kobe,
right?
In my opinion. So
it's an upgrade over Kobe, and that's about it. You know, it doesn't do a lot for what we need.
Would you put Patrick Williams in a package for Damian Lillard? Yes, thank you.
Yes.
Next question.
100%. Yes. What are you talking about?
I love Pat Williams, but yes, you absolutely, especially with the timeline we're on. Yeah, if it's Pat Williams and picks, you do it.
A billion times out of a billion, you always do that.
All-around designs. Lando TJ is my dream point guard rotation. That would be hilarious.
I would like it, and I was going to say about TJ, if you're able to get some wing depth and you re-sign Zach LaVine, okay, TJ, I'm fine with just getting TJ this offseason. Lonzo is still the goal, in my opinion. When we talk about plan Bs, like TJ's a good plan B or plan C, but like plan A should definitely still be Lonzo. But then like you could maybe get TJ McConnell and Spencer Dinwiddie, and like I'd be happy with that. And if you re-sign Zach LaVine, that's like I'm fine with that. I'd be happy going into next season like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was another question earlier. I'm not sure where I could find it, but someone asked about an offseason where we sign people to short-term deals 1 year and open up a lot of cap space for 2022 free agency, the 2022 plan, as our friend Doug Tonis calls it on the Big Red Bus. But that's another, I think, more realistic option. So one of the ideas that was floated, I think it was by Stefan Noh, was trading for Ricky Rubio, who's a very good stopgap point guard. I feel bad for the guy because he's been the stopgap point guard for like the last five or six seasons. I know. Yeah. And I feel bad. The poor man just wants a home, but yeah. He would be a great option for us. And I know the Timberwolves, they put the ball into D'Angelo Russell's hands and their rookie Anthony Edwards a lot this year. So I thought if they got a top four pick, I thought for sure they'd trade Rubio, but I'm not sure about it now. We'll see what their luxury tax situation looks like. But that's another option. I think if you could re-sign guys like Garrett Temple, even like Javonte Green, Daniel Tice, just give them the maximum you can on a one-year deal and kind of keep the books open for 2022. That's not a bad idea. I know we've done that in years past and ended up with Pau Gasol and Carlos Boozer, who are both fine free agents, but obviously not the big ticket items we wanted. But I think it's still a fine idea. I think the downside to that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it would feel a little bit disappointing this year to like, oh, we made the Boozer trade, we barely missed the playoffs, and the next year we're like, and we're bringing the same team back and hope we get
better.
Here's the thing, right? With that is like, I've heard that a couple times, but like the thing is like, dude, like they didn't get a full training camp. They didn't get practices. They did, and the time they did get practices, they performed pretty well after those practices.
Right.
So it's like, I get it. They only won 31 games, but like, I would like to see this team with a full off season, with practices on a regular basis, with no COVID implications, with no, like, I would like to see that. And also throw in the wrench of now you have Vooch to plan around now. And Pat right. has another off season. Like that stuff matters. And I get it. You know, like you don't want to go back into the season with the same team. Well, I mean, that season was pretty weird. And for a team that didn't have depth, that really tanked that this Bulls team from the past season. Yeah. So there wasn't a lot of depth to really overcome in a lot of the things that kind of hit this Bulls teams last season. So, you know, I get that, but at the same time, that group, if you have TBJ coming in off season, he has a role that he likes to play. You bring back a Javonte Green, who we've seen can have an impact on the defensive end, and he doesn't hurt you out there. And then you got Vooch, like we say, like, you know, if you bring back Tice, like you don't have to play him at the four anymore. You can have him play backup five and play Pat at the four, start TBJ, or maybe you go get a marginal wing and you can start him at the three and have TBJ come off the bench. There's so many things. There's things you can do. So like I heard that. I hear that. I've seen it tweeted. I've seen heard people say you can't bring back the same team, but like it's not like it was a regular NBA season and they just tanked. Like last year was weird, and this team wasn't built to take on that type of stress. Like it wasn't a Bucks team or a Nets team where if you lose KD and you lose James, you still got Kyrie and some pretty good role players, and you should be able to fight through the muck. Like we weren't built for that. So.
Yeah.
I get what you guys are, like a lot of people are saying, but like I'm a little bit different. So,
yeah, I'm with you on that. I that's why I hate when people say like, oh, we can't bring back the same team. Well, we're not. We made all those mid-season trades and then a bunch of bull crap happened and we didn't get to see the team that we traded for. Mm-hmm. You know, like this is a new team still. They are still developing chemistry. Troy Brown Jr. was not a part of the rotation for most of the second half of the season. Daniel Tice was playing out of position sometimes. Like there are players who we haven't really seen develop yet. Like I would be really sad if we never made the Vooch trade and we were running it back with like Wendell Carter Jr. and Daniel Gafford and those guys. Like that would be worst case scenario. I think we're in a totally different situation. Like you said, the COVID stuff just made things so weird. We were already overcoming a lot of challenges last season. Like despite not having the practices, despite the midseason trade, despite the struggles of Kobe White and Lauri Markkanen, like we were almost in the playoffs. We even with Zach LaVine being out, we were almost in the play-in tournament. So like this team was close. There's still things that they can do even with just the core. So I'm okay if we don't make a huge move this offseason with the mindset of we're going all in 2022.
Yeah. I think either way, we're probably not going to see seismic changes in the roster just because of the cap situation and where we're at and the quality of free agents that are available at the prices we could possibly pay. But we'll see. We'll see. It's an exciting time to be a Bulls fan. I think this offseason is going to be really, really key. AK said, "I'm not done yet." Right. And I don't know, when he says that, I'm like, okay, he's got more stuff. He's not just going to run this back. As you said, I mean, even if he ran it back, it would still be five, you know, new players that we brought in, very different roster than when we started last season. But he says he's not done yet. So we'll see what happens with that. Let's see. Larry, you have something? I just want to say thanks to everyone who commented. We got a lot of great comments tonight.
Yeah.
And appreciate you guys' questions, feedback, and hope we were able to answer them. Sorry if we missed any. I ran out of time. But we got one more. Logan Moyano, would you put TBJ in a package for Tyler Hero in a second-round pick?
I like Tyler Hero. I have the same reaction as Bradley Beal in your little thumbnail, though. Like, come on.
Yeah. I like Tyler Hero, but I think Troy Brown Jr., as I mentioned earlier, I think he fits a need more than Tyler Hero does. And I think Miami would probably be looking for more than that kind of return in the first place. So I'm not sure we'll be able to see something like that. But and then let's see. Steven Nagishi had one more. Does not having the first round pick lower your expectation for next season? Yes and no? I don't know. Who's your friend? Who's your friend, Ross?
That's my cat. Her name is Hester, if you wanted to know. I don't – that's a weird question because I don't think my expectations were based around the first-round pick. You know, I think my expectations are more based around what moves we can make this offseason in terms of putting more pieces around Zach and letting Zach develop and Coby White develop. Like, those are my expectations. I want to see Patrick Williams take a step. I want to see Coby White take a step and recover from his injury. I want to see Zach LaVine continue to play at a high level. I don't think the first round pick really was a big part of that. Because once again, going back to the Vooch trade, like the expectation at the time was, well, we're not getting that pick. We're going to the playoffs. So, yeah, I don't think it really changes a whole lot.
Yeah, I totally, totally agree. And it doesn't lower my expectation. And it also doesn't make me think that the trade was a failure just because we didn't make the playoffs that season. I think I need to see some more. But before we get out of here, there was another question from Steven, actually, that I liked Ross's comparison. He asked who Roko compared to. And I really like your comparison of Luol Deng. I think that's a really good comparison. I think a dude that can do it all, play really good defense. I really like that. That's a really good comparison.
Yeah, gritty, kind of a slow three-point shooter, but he's got the shot. It's still there. And like he's lanky, but he knows how to use his length. That was the thing I saw with Roko, like at the rim. He contorts his body. He's got a little bit of acrobatic, you know, layups to him. I like the comparison, Luol Deng. I see it for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so we're gonna wrap up here. I did want to ask you one more question, completely unrelated. What is your most controversial food take? What's something that you tell people about food that people go, wait, what?
You want me to start?
Or do you even have any? Are you just?
Oh, I got controversial. I got controversial food takes. You guys see me on Twitter all the time. We could do this for a while, actually. I think my biggest one is that ketchup is gross. People get really mad at me because I hate on ketchup.
No. You know, okay.
Keep going.
I say ketchup is a huge condiment. I feel like people need to grow up. Try barbecue sauce. Try hot sauce. There's sauces out there, man. You don't have to keep using ketchup. We could be adults about it.
This is hilarious. Lara's not gonna be able to sleep tonight on that basis alone.
Man,
that's amazing. I love this.
I love me some ketchup. I'm sorry, brother. Hey.
Each his own. You use your ketchup. I'm going barbecue sauce.
We got to ask Mark Schindler now about his ketchup. Ketchup now?
We got to have a whole episode with Mark about his food takes because they are wild. I don't know if you follow Mark Schindler on Twitter, but that kid's wild in about some food takes. I'll say this about ketchup. Good fries don't need ketchup. If your fries need ketchup, it's because the fries suck. That doesn't mean that ketchup can't improve the fries, but if the fries need ketchup, the fries stink.
I just think there's no meal that ketchup is better with than barbecue sauce or hot sauce. Like, hot sauce and barbecue sauce will always be a superior option depending on what you're eating, is my take on it.
I always thought also, the funny Kansas one was crash. ketchup on eggs. You guys know the ketchup on eggs. So here's the thing. You want to make your eggs great? Salsa. Put some salsa in the eggs.
Okay. Hot sauce, and salsa, absolutely.
Tapatio.
Absolutely.
Love 100%. It. Love it.
I'm a honey mustard
opinion.
Guy.
Opinion honey on Raising Cane's. Raising Cane's.
I hate Cane's. Cane's is trash.
I love their bread, man. Their bread's so good.
The bread's good. Well, their name is Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, and their chicken fingers are trash. So make that make sense. I don't get that.
It's like pulling Popeye's wings and they're out of chicken.
Right. What are you gonna? Your chicken is carried by sauce, so it's just Raising Cane's sauce. That's all it is. The chicken's just there. Goodness. It's the sauce that's the main attraction.
The sauce is pretty good, and the bread. You know, you can always ask for extra bread. Swap out the coleslaw for the bread because coleslaw is one of the most disgusting things in the world. It's like cabbage and lettuce in mayo. Like, what are you doing with your life? Come on.
All right.
You're right. We'll have to have you come on another time, and we'll just do a whole food takes episode because I know you got.
Oh, I'd love to.
You started with a zinger, so I love it.
The ketchup hurts, man.
God. I know. Lara's gonna not. I'm not sure if he's gonna recover. He might start unfollowing on Twitter as soon as we get off this.
He don't need me. He got over 10,000.
Hey, good. We got all Bulls fans out. We got Bulls Nation. We're hanging out.
Hey Ross. So speaking of Twitter, let us know where everyone can find you, what you're working on, what you got upcoming, where, you know, you got a bunch of different platforms, as I said, you know, you kind of dipped your hand in a lot of pies at the same time. So where can we find your work?
Yeah, absolutely. At Arturus Fan Club on all platforms, very easy to find. Make sure to check out ArturusFanClub.com. We have a blog. I have a very talented group of writers who have been contributing to the blog, writing about Bulls content, NBA content in general, just a lot of stuff that's going on right now with the playoffs. And then obviously my YouTube channel, Arturus Fan Club. It's easy to find, but those are the things that I'm focused on right now. Like you said, I have a lot of different projects, but YouTube and the website are the ones that I want you guys to check out if you got the time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you. Your work is hilarious and fun and informative, and the takes are never ending. And it's as I said, it's capturing the essence of the energy of the Bulls fans that has long been missing. So we really appreciate you having you on the show, giving us your time on a Saturday night when I'm sure you got Twitch streams or something. You got other stuff. You got content to be pumping out.
We got videos. I got a video to make tomorrow, so you guys will see me on the timeline. I'll be there. You know where to find me.
Awesome.
There's a comment right now. Thoughts on the Packers?
What are your thoughts on the Packers, guys? What do you want me to say? I'm not a Packers fan.
I'll say this. Hashtag I stand with Aaron. Aaron, you sit as long as you need to get your point, brother. Yeah. You get your point across.
So, yeah. He's a great Jeopardy host. I love him on Jeopardy. Want to see him for years on Jeopardy. Keep there doing that.
I know Aldo agrees with this. So you guys have a great Saturday night. Yeah, we appreciate you. There he goes. He's stepping in for a second. Thank you guys so much. If you guys like what we put out, like, subscribe, comment, retweet, let people know where they can find us, where they can find Ross. Well, you know, we're a big Bulls Nation family. We really appreciate everything you guys put in, the content. We're all doing this for fun and because we like the Bulls and we want them to win. So thank you guys so much for tuning into Bulls 101. We'll talk to you guys later. Go check out Ross's stuff. Hit the music. Let's go.